Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is Jesus Christ appealing to an undisciplined culture? I'm going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word. And in that word, we clearly understand that to be your disciple, we must take up our cross and follow you. Help us to understand the difference between just being a church member walking far distant from you and being a disciple who has a real part in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Lord, we pray that it may be your word today that instructs us in discipleship. All this we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, is Jesus Christ appealing in an undisciplined culture? If not, should we make him appealing by presenting only those parts of the Christian faith which make him very attractive? Should we give society a distorted presentation of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, if we want to make him very appealing to the masses in any society, we need to skip over our text for this Sunday, because for many, it would be downright offensive. Let's take a look at the text. Our Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. As he went along the way, he said to those with him, "If you want to be my disciples, you've got to count the cost." And then he went on and told them a story. The story was about a man who was building a tower. He got the foundation in and he ran out of money. He had to leave it right there. Some of the people in that vicinity would walk by the tower and they'd say, "The man must have run out of money. He has a nice foundation there, but there is absolutely no tower." And the Bible said they would have ridiculed him. What Jesus is trying to say today is that the cost to be a disciple of Jesus Christ can be very, very high. William Barclay, in his commentary, has put it this way: there are so many distant followers of Jesus, and there are so few disciples. I think we find that to be true in any community, perhaps in any church. Those who follow along at a distance. If you ask them, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" they would say, "Of course I do." "Well, then tell me about him. What has he done for you?" Many of them would have no story of their faith and their relationship with him. They are distant followers. Are these people saved? You know, I think that is God's business. What he does with them is certainly not for me to say. for he has told me that I am not to judge. But Jesus is not seeking distant followers. Rather, he is seeking disciples. And our prayer has to be that those who might be classified as distant followers of Jesus will grow closer to him and become his disciples. You know, there's a story about a family who joined the church. And then they were very, very excited about it. Every time the doors were open, they would be there. They sometimes could be rather judgmental to some of the other people who had been a part of the church for a long time. They were wondering why they were lacking in zeal, as they felt they were. And then after a while, their emotions and their feelings ran out, and they were not to be found around the church anywhere. Oh, they could still talk about their days with the Lord, but he didn't really have very much part in their lives. Their conversion, or their, whatever you want to call it, spiritual rebirth, had evidently gone as rapidly as it had come to them. One person who knew the family said, well, that's the way they are. A few years ago, they were taken up with bowling. Two or three times a week, they would find their way to the bowling alley, go to bowling tournaments, learn to be a better bowler. And then one day that was over with. They threw the bowling ball in the corner, and now after they had had enough of Jesus, they put him in the corner with a bowling ball. Well, that is not discipleship. The disciple is a disciplined person. Now, the minute that you use that word discipline, you have to wonder, is that appealing to our society? The word discipline can be used to simply say that the person is well-trained. He's well-trained in what he's able to do. As Jesus was walking to Jerusalem, he said to those who were with him, I'm going to show you the cost of being my disciple. As they walked with him, saw how he was treated by men and women too, I imagine, they saw this is not the way that it should be. Here is a person who has done no harm to anybody, has done so much good. Why would they treat him as they do? And then ultimately they got to the cross. As they stood there beneath the cross for a little while before they scattered, they began to see that Jesus was very, very unpopular. They thought he was simply dying because the world hated him. Little did they understand that this was a part of God's sovereign plan, that he was to die for the sins of the world. They learned that day that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ could cost them a great deal. They continued to learn until most of them died as martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ. Translate that into something that you and I can understand. Is it not true, friend, that as we walk with the Lord Jesus as one of not his distant followers, but as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are in the process of learning all the time what it means to follow him? It means, among other things, that as a disciplined disciple, I'm going to know every possible thing that I can about Jesus Christ and his concern for the world of which I am a part. I'm going to know very well the way of salvation. If somebody asks me, how do you get to heaven? I don't say to them, well, go and ask the pastor. I don't say to them, well, I think it's this way. You tell them very clearly. You know, we're all sinners. We have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. We're outside of a relationship with God. But God has loved us so much that he sent into this world the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. If you will repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, who has been crucified and raised again on the third day for you, then your sins are taken away. In other words, God has laid on Christ your sins. All you have to do, empowered by his Spirit, is to receive Jesus and you're his forever. But it doesn't stop there. You'll go on and read in the scriptures. You'll read where what follows is the Christian life. It does not mean that our Christian life is a contribution that we make to being saved, but it simply means because I am saved, because I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to live a Christian life. We call it the fruit of the faith. But during the course of this time of my life, while I'm here on this earth, I'll want to learn more and more and more about Christ. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we go to worship services on Sunday. That's why we gather a group of people around us to study the Word of God. That's why we have a quiet time ourselves. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to be in his Word. Of course there is feeling, but our salvation is not based on our feelings. We have to have training. Well-trained people become the disciples of Jesus Christ if they'll let it go a bit further, and the Word really becomes living truth. Is this appealing not only to Americans, but those who are distant followers of Jesus Christ? Not always, because they have no devotional life themselves. They are members of the church. They never go to a Bible study. They don't always go to church. More than 50% of them are not in church on a Sunday morning. They have emotions. They have conversions. They get excited. But now they can easily put Jesus in the corner with a bowling ball. I remember my mother, a lady of very little formal education, eighth grade. But we had a pastor in our church, and she really got a great deal out of his sermons. One day she went and said, "Is there something that I can study? I'm not very smart." I think she was. "I'm really not very well trained. But do you have a correspondence course or something that I can take on the life of Jesus?" I would watch her sitting there at night at the table, pondering over the questions in the correspondence course, reading her Bible. She was becoming a stronger and stronger disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying, you've got to know what goes on if you want to be a disciple of Christ. And then he goes on to say, also, the disciple is one whose life is controlled by Jesus. Now, when you use that word control, is that appealing to the average American? Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 14, says, "For the love of Christ controls me." Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, what does it mean, coming from one who is always talking about loving and saying that there is no place for hatred in the life of a Christian? Well, he intends to be shocking. The best commentators tell us that the Aramaic word there is love less. Matthew tunes down this same statement that Luke really shocks us with when he says, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." In other words, Jesus Christ is first in our lives. Again, I ask, is this appealing to a culture that does not want to be controlled by anyone? Does this appeal to a culture that says, "I am number one"? And that's the way it is. In an undisciplined world, can Christianity be appealing if we tell the whole story? And I think probably we come back and say at times, a no to the masses of people, this would not make sense at all. If we want to try to get the masses, then maybe we ought to just select certain passages from which we preach our sermons and from which we greet people who are not believers in Jesus Christ. Should we give our society a distorted picture of who Jesus Christ is and what he is asking us to do? Or shall we teach as the Bible teaches? You know, as I take a look at the church today, and I think probably it's always been that way, whether it's any worse today or not, I don't know, but that doesn't condone it. We are so anxious to market this Christianity. We are so anxious to say, just receive Jesus and your life is going to be different. That is true. But it will also be true that we will suffer some very, very difficult hours and will have some torturous experiences. Is it the numbers? I sometimes think that as I look back over the years that I was in the ministry, our congregation, under my leadership, I blame no one else, probably received people into the church just a little bit too easily. We would ask them if they had had no background in our particular denomination, that they had come to 8 classes and we'd go over some of the basic teachings of the church. And then after that, if they'd like to join, they could join. I don't know if I'd do it that way today if the church council permitted me to do otherwise. I think maybe I would just take it a little bit more slowly. Let them really see if they really want to turn their lives over to Christ. Do they really want to be his disciples? Otherwise, wouldn't it be better just to come to church? Well, we can debate this back and forth. But one thing I know, friend, it is not going to do the kingdom of God much good by being appealing to people, leaving out a part of the story. The calling can have those difficult times and experiences. But he who calls us to be his disciples has also promised to walk with us every step of the way and will be there at the end of time to meet us. That's our Lord. Amen. God in heaven, as we begin a new week, strengthen your disciples to walk in your ways, that we may touch the lives of those who yet live in darkness. We also pray that we may touch the lives of your saints who are sick and shut in, but sometimes for whom life is difficult, hard, heavy. Grant that we may come with a glorious message that you will never forsake them, nor will you leave them. God in heaven, raise up within your church those who are truly your disciples. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our program began broadcasting on September 6, 1936, with the Reverend G.E. Melkert, founding pastor from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. The Reverend Bruno Schlachtenhafen took over from 1956 through 1961. The third radio pastor, our own Pastor Larson, began in 1962. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry, and it depends on the generosity of the listeners for financial support. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $65, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.